to learn from the greats through Carl Kwan. Good morning, Carl. Welcome back.
Good morning, Jonghyun. Thank you for having me back.
So, yeah, just during that commercial break, we were talking about the title of today's segment, Doggone Tips for Success.
Doggone Tips for Success. Now, you told me something interesting about the word doggone, which I didn't... Oh, surprised that you would say that you didn't actually know the word doggone, because you know, like, everything.
What?
You know, like, everything.
Oh, I know everything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've never heard of doggone.
Do you want to define it for our audience in case someone else doesn't know what it means?
Well, apparently you know what it means, so why don't you define it?
It's, like, especially good, but it's a nicer way of saying, you know, like, a lot of people don't want to say, like, God and then, like, you know, the other word they don't like with that. So they changed it to, like, doggone. So it can be something good or bad. So
instead of God and that word, I've heard gold darn.
Which is really funny, which I've never heard before.
But doggone.
Yeah, it's the same as like gosh darn. Mm. So people say doggone it, you know, with that sort of thing. Doggone it, it's like, you know, but they can say it for something good as well. So we've got like doggone tips for success today.
It's doggone because we're talking about
these fantastic tips by an interesting man by the name of Cesar Millan.
Cesar Millan.
Yes. Now he is Mexican and Mexican American now. And so we were talking about, you know, how the pronunciation is probably a little bit different if he was saying this in Spanish, but he's a very interesting guy. Now, he's a very famous celebrity dog trainer. So you're saying that you actually have dogs?
Yeah, I've always had dogs.
You've always had dogs? Seriously? Like, so how many dogs have you had by your count?
Oh, goodness. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't know. Lot.
Wow. In dog years, that's like forever.
Yeah.
You've had like forever. You have dogs like forever, basically. Wow. I know a story about a guy that had dogs all his life. And he went to the airport. And, you know, the sort of security dogs came over and sat next to him. And he didn't think anything of it because he's always had dogs in his life. Anyway, the airport security said, "Please come with me, sir." And they ended up, you know, assuming that he had, you know, stuff on his body somewhere. And so they searched him very thoroughly, only to find they had nothing. But it's because he smelled so much like a dog that the dog was, like, fooled by the security dogs, even fooled by his scent. So anyway.
Yeah. I get that a lot from other dogs. They come and sniff me and, because I smell like dogs.
No, exactly. Exactly. So what kind of dogs do you have?
I have two small dogs, house dogs, a Maltese and a Yorkshire Terrier.
Are they well behaved?
Yes, pretty much.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Pretty well
behaved. They like listen well, they like do stuff you want them to do.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Not all the time.
Okay. Yeah. So that's pretty good then. So this guy here, Cesar Millan, he lives in California and he is known as the dog whisperer.
Ooh.
Just like the movie with the Robert Redford movie.
He
can communicate with dogs. He understands them. And his methods for training dogs are slightly different than most traditional methods. He's very good because he has this sort of innate sense of what the dogs sort of, you know, do. And he understands them from a behavioral and psychological perspective and how they think.
He knows why the dogs behave that way.
He does.
What the dog's thinking.
Really, he does. It's like an ESP type of thing.
Dog psychology.
Yeah, dog psychology. You know, doggone psychology. But he knows from just their behavior. He can understand from their behavior, their actions, their body language. He was known as like the dog boy when he was a child because he lived on a farm, actually. And everyone thought, wow, this kid knows something about dogs because he's always around them. He was very good with them. And so when he went to America, we won't talk about how he went to America, but he went to America at one point and he, you know, was training dogs and doing things with dogs and animals. And he became very famous after working with Jada Pinkett Smith, Will Smith's wife.
Right.
And at the time that, you know, he couldn't even really speak English. And she was so impressed by his skills in helping her with her dog that, she hired an English tutor, you know, for a year to help him improve his English and to help him. So from that point on, he started working more and more. And he's now written several popular, extremely popular dog training books. He also had a really popular television series called What Else? Dog Whisperer, for 8 years, from 2004 to 2012. And the show has been shown in like 80 different countries. The books have been translated to 14 different languages. And he sold like over 2 million copies in the U.S. alone. And he's got another show that he started this year as well. I don't remember the name, but I'm guessing it's like something about dog whispering as well. Anyway, his teaching philosophy sort of revolves around three principles, which are exercise, discipline, and affection, in that exact order.
Exercise, discipline, and affection.
Right.
When he trains his dogs.
Right, that's what he does. And so we're going to learn how to apply those three principles in our own lives for our own personal success and maybe your dog's as well.
Dog training tips.
Exactly, for us.
Okay. So what's lesson number one is
exercise, of course. Lesson number one, exercise. So Caesar likes to use exercise as his first teaching principle because most dog owners underestimate the amount of exercise that most dogs require. Right? They tend to think, well, you know, he plays and we take him for a walk a little bit and that's probably enough. But he found that dogs are, you know, especially dogs that are considered problematic, they're usually bored physically. They don't get enough exercise. They get like the brief walks or playing. You know, they don't give them enough physical stimulation. Owners, I mean, don't give their dogs enough physical stimulation. So the dogs become restless and they become difficult to control or to manage. And dogs, you know, they need to go for a walk every single day to stay physically healthy and to vent their energy to become better pets. So people tend to think, well, I'll take them for like a half hour walk. It's usually not enough. They need like at least an hour, like maybe even twice a day kind of thing. The other aspect is that dog owners need to be the pack leader because dogs are, you know, packed animals and they act out physically because they feel like they have to be the pack leader. Because most dog owners just let their dogs do whatever they want and they try and control them, but they don't take that sort of leadership role with the dogs. And so the dog feels like, well, I'm the one that has to bark when stuff comes to warn you. I'm the one that has to lead the way when we're walking because I have to find out if there's danger or if there's like, you know, other dogs to sniff. But most dog owners are, you know, too passive when it comes to being the leader of his or her pack, which in this case means being the leader of their home. So it could be in your family or whoever. So a lot of times, if a certain person is sort of the leader to that dog, the dog won't listen to anyone else because they view that other person as being lower than them. So they understand hierarchies very well, and that's what Caesar understands. So for us, just like dogs, we also require physical exercise on a daily basis. You've got your mountain climbing, I do whatever, I'm a bike in the rain, and that exercise helps to relieve tension and stress. It also helps to improve our circulation, which then helps improve our thinking and brain function, right? That means that when we're in better physical condition, it means that we can perform at a higher level because our brains will be also in a better condition, right? And so humans also, we need these sort of challenges in our life and in order to find things that we can sort of overcome. And we like it when we can face a challenge and have to do something to overcome it. Like, you know, we're bored by things that are sort of routine and mundane. But when there's a challenge posed before us, we tend to, you know, perform better. So if you are currently doing something in your life that does not challenge you enough, that is too easy, that is, you know, it can be actually very difficult for you to reach your full potential, and it makes it hard to accomplish whatever your overall goals in life are because it'll seem like you're constantly stuck in a rut or that your opportunities are limited. So you need to be in good physical condition and then to find things in your life that challenge you somewhat to help you overcome obstacles. And then that way you can overcome anything and start thinking, okay, I can do really anything I want.
And so exercise is a good way of doing that.
Exactly.
Meeting some sort of a physical challenge.
Exactly.
Trying to overcome it, yeah?
Absolutely. So that is why lesson number one is exercise.
Okay. Oh, my dogs don't get enough exercise. That's why sometimes they just run around in circles like crazy dogs in the house.
Don't those dogs do that anyway?
Okay, lesson number two, discipline.
Okay, lesson number two, discipline. Now, Caesar considers discipline to be his second most important method for training dogs, which seems obvious because dogs need training and discipline in order to become good pets. Did you train your dogs like purposely, like you sort of like teach them things to do and stuff like that? Really? Like what?
Yeah, like where to do their business.
Okay.
toilet training.
Yeah, like potty training. Potty train. Do you teach them like walk on a leash and stuff like that and like come when you call them?
No, not really. Teach them to eat when I give them food. And
that you probably don't have to teach dogs to do that. I was at the dog cafe yesterday with Ethan, and believe me, dogs, they know when food is there. When they're hungry, they eat.
They can do things like paw, you know.
Okay, that's pretty cool. Okay, that's pretty
or
cool.
Or sit.
Because they want food, right? Basically, they want to eat something, right? They want that attention. So, but the difference here with Caesar and discipline is that, you know, the sort of the, it's the same way as a pack leader in a group of dogs would use discipline. And the pack leader in the group of dogs is considered the alpha, right? The alpha male. Typically, it's the alpha male in the group. Oh, but in our, you know, it can be a female.
Well, in
or
my
male.
House, it's alpha female.
Right. In your case, alpha female. Mm. In my house as well, it's the alpha female. But it's,
no, I'm talking about my dogs.
Oh, you're talking about your dogs. Okay. I was talking about, you know, in your home for real. But anyway, so we'll ask your husband that. But so anyway, so the pack leader is the alpha. It could be either male or female. Typically, it's going to be the male. Now, the alpha dog leads by example, mm-hmm. right? Whatever the alpha dog does, the other dogs will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And so the alpha dog will show what the rules are. And he'll use his physical presence, because typically the alpha dog is bigger and stronger mm-hmm. than the other dogs, mm-hmm. to sort of dominate the whole pack. And will occasionally use a sort of like, you know, nipping or biting at the neck or something like that to, you know, sort of say, okay, I don't like that behavior from you.
Mm,
right?
Or growling.
Right, a growling mm-hmm. or whatever to control the other dogs.
Mm.
Now, this does not mean, however, that hitting or, you know, physical violence of any kind is acceptable from us, you know, when we're disciplining our dogs. So, you know, unfortunately, I sometimes see people using sort of physical, like, hitting with
stuff.
Oh,
you should never do that with your dogs, because the dogs will never trust you again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I was at the dog cafe, and I saw the people working at the dog cafe actually use those. You know, like, on TV shows in Korea, they have those like, hammers, those little plastic mm-hmm, hammers mm-hmm, that squeak. Mm-hmm. They were using those to hit the dogs.
Ooh.
I was like, Not good. But in any case, mm-hmm. that's something that we do not approve of at all, right? You should never hit your dog. It's, you know, we're talking about how dogs behave in general.
Mm.
So also the dog, the alpha dog, displays an attitude and behavior that Caesar calls calm assertive.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
calm assertive behavior, which we see in dogs that are in that way.
But
right?
then Caesar says the owner needs to be the pack leader.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. we're going to talk about how that works now, right? So
okay.
the dog owner needs to do that. And so, you know, most people find it incredibly easy to be sort of distracted and to procrastinate, and including myself.
Mm-hmm.
And this results in our lost productivity due to a lack of focus and discipline. And, you know, as far as like being a pack leader is concerned, yeah, we have to do that with our dogs, but we'll talk about maybe, you know, dog training somehow in this. But, you know, as far as discipline for us is concerned, it's a mental habit that needs to be practiced and cultivated over time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you can just say, I'm going to be, you know, disciplined today kind of thing, right? You got to, like, work at it.
You have to, discipline as in, like, disciplining yourself.
Yeah, because for us now, we're not talking about
right,
our dogs
right,
now.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, discipline, too, for your dogs, it does take time, too, right? Anything that, you know, they need to develop those habits, too. But one method of improving your mental discipline, if you're going to work on this yourself, is called the Pomodoro technique.
Tomato technique?
Yes, the tomato technique. If you get apps for, like, Pomodoro, they're all, like, you know, shaped like a tomato, which is kind of funny. But anyway, so the Pomodoro technique is using a timer that you set for 25 or typically like 25 or 50 minute intervals. They're like work cycles. And then you have breaks that are scheduled for like 10 or 20 minutes, you know, per work cycle, depending on which one you choose.
Mm.
So if you go for 25 minutes, you can take like a 5 or 10 minute break.
Mm.
If you go for 50 minutes, you can take like a 10 or 20 minute break.
Mm.
And that's what I do. It really helps in terms of like breaking up what I'm doing.
Really?
Yeah.
You actually have a timer for when you're going to work and when you're going to take a break.
Yeah, like I set like a little egg timer.
Oh.
And I'll set it for like 50 minutes. Uh-huh. Or now I use it on my phone. I'll set it, and it actually ticks as well.
Uh-huh.
So I'll set that for 50 minutes, and I don't do anything
But work
for like 50 minutes.
Oh.
So no checking email, no, you know, I've gone off Facebook until like 6 p.m. After 6 p.m., I'll like, you know, figure out what I have to do, get my coffee ready, whatever I have to do, go to the bathroom, whatever I have to do, and then just sit for that 50 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
And then for the 20 minutes, I'll goof off.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take a nap, I'll, you know, work out, or I'll eat something, or, you know, whatever that's not related to what I was doing before.
Mm.
So then I come back for another 50 minute session where I'm totally refreshed because I haven't been thinking about, you know, what
work.
I was doing before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it really, really helps. Okay. Really, really helps. But even more important than sort of this whole discipline with whatever, you know, sitting down and working, whatever, is to do something that is mentally stimulating.
Mm.
Right? Because you'll naturally be more disciplined when doing things that you place a higher value on and are interested in. Right?
Mm.
And so you can also, you know, another thing that we can do that dogs also like are rewards, right? But you can also give yourself rewards for maintaining a certain level of discipline or for accomplishing something.
Mm.
So it could be like a small little present, a snack, a trip, or whatever
you
decide.
A doggy bone.
A doggy bone, you know, if that's your thing, you know. Some of those dog treats apparently are like human edible, but I haven't tried. But.
Oh, a lot of them actually look better than human food.
Yeah, exactly. They're more expensive than human food,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like the organic ones, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you set your work timer.
Yeah.
And then you reward yourself for sticking to the timer, for example.
Right.
Or achieving something.
Right. It's like it's really about just having something that'll stimulate you mentally to do something about, you know, to improve yourself or to be successful or, you know, to achieve your goals or whatever it is, you know, to accomplish projects or tasks. It's just getting that mental discipline. And, you know, the timer actually, you know, it's interesting for me because I have to, you know, not do anything else except wait until that timer runs out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I don't just sit there sometimes and wait for it to run out until like, the last 5 minutes and do something. I actually think, okay, I'll get it done. And then I kind of think about, well, what will I do that's fun for that 20 minutes that I'm going to like to do? So it might be like playing a game. It might be like eating like a, you know, something that I shouldn't normally be eating or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that a little bit more fun that I can say, okay, I will stick to this 20 or this, you know, 50 minute thing.
You look forward to the reward at the
exactly,
end.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Okay.
So it's that mental stimulation as well as the discipline that you're building in. So that is discipline. Lesson number two, discipline.
Lesson number three, affection.
Okay, affection. Final principle that Caesar uses in his training methods is affection. Now, most dog owners tend to provide affection because they love their dog so much, which is totally okay.
Mm-hmm.
However, from a dog's perspective, your affection actually places the dog on a pedestal.
Hmm.
Okay. And the higher the social level, so the dog will actually be on a higher social level than you or other people in your family.
In other words, you're spoiling your dog.
Right. Mm. And there's like things like when you pet your dog, if you pet them like under their chin, it actually makes them think that you are raising their social status.
Ooh.
But whereas if you pat them on the head, it's like pushing them down in a way, like you are like below me kind of thing. So yeah, so that kind of thing is interesting in terms of like, you know, how you should do it. But the other thing also is that this causes problems because then your dog views you or, you know, whoever as the pack member, but not as the pack leader, right? If you sort of, you know, overly affectionate with your dog. So now what Caesar says, and I quote him, he says that, you know, give affection when the dog is in a balanced state of mind, not when the dog is fearful, anxious, avoidant, or excited, right? So even like when you come home and the dogs are really excited to see you and you want to like pet them and say, hi, how you doing, blah, blah, blah.
You don't want to pet them then.
You don't want to pet them then.
You want them to calm down.
Right. Calm down, and then you're going to give them the affection kind of thing, right? So he does that on the show. If you watch, like he does that kind of thing. He trains people to do this as well. So the affection then, you know, if you do that when they're too excited or whatever in an imbalanced state, it actually reinforces that imbalance in them because they think, well, yeah, if I do that and I get attention, I'm going to do that more kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So for us then, Caesar talks about providing affection, but, you know, it's sort of the emotional part of things, right? So when dogs are in a balanced state of mind, right, we provide them with the affection.
Mm-hmm.
However, when people often look for emotional rewards, that we, you know, when we do it, when we feel stressed out or tired, or in other words, when we ourselves feel imbalanced in some way,
that's right.
Right, we seek these kind of external rewards, and some of them, these emotional rewards, can include like overeating, excessive drinking, smoking, vegging out in front of the TV,
shopping.
Exactly, another good one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or anything else that provides temporary emotional rewards.
Mm.
So instead, it's better to reward ourselves for things well done, for challenges that we have overcome, for maintaining discipline and being productive, right? This will encourage us to continue to do things that will improve our lives and that will help us reach our ultimate goals in life.
Ah, so it goes hand in hand with discipline.
And right.
Instead of emotionally rewarding yourself when you're feeling down, you reward yourself for being in a balanced state of mind.
Right, exactly. So
and
being productive, being
that's
balanced.
That's showing true affection to yourself.
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. So it's related to everything, right? Like, you know, having those challenges that you overcome, right, from the exercise part of it that we talked about, and then, of course, the, you know,
discipline.
Rewards and discipline and whatever, and then finally the rewards.
Mm.
So it all sort of works in that order instead of in the reverse, which is what most people tend to do.
Okay, a quick recap of the lessons.
Okay, lesson one, exercise. Get exercise and do something that challenges you.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson number two, discipline, develop productive habits, and do something mentally stimulating.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson number three, final lesson, is affection. Give yourself rewards for being disciplined and productive.
Who would have thought we could learn so much from a dog trainer?
Not me until the other day.
Not me until today. Well, thanks very much for those lessons, Carl.
Thank you for having me.
We'll see you again in a couple weeks' time.
Yep, see you then.
That's Learn from the Greats with Carl Kwan, and we're now wrapping up this segment with Elvis Presley singing Hound Dog.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. Crying all the time. Well, you ain't another quarter rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, you ain't never caught a rabbit, and you ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Time.